Bava Metzia, Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph. This Mishnah will discuss a scenario where one person owns the first story of a house and a different person owns the second story of the house, and the house collapses, and the question is going to be who owns the remainders of the house. There's still usable material, whether it's wood or whether it's stones. So it's a question of who does it belong to. And the Mishnah is going to discuss two different types of scenarios. One in which we see the collapse and we're able to look at it and assess whose stones are from the first story and whose stones are from the second story. And another scenario where we know it fell, but before we had a chance to assess it, it fell into a field. The owner of the field carted off the remains of the walls, and so it's no longer able to determine based on exactly the crime scene, so to speak, of how it collapsed, and therefore they have to divide it differently. So the Mishnah tells us as follows: Abayis va'aliyah shel shnayim shenaflu. You have a house and a second story that belongs to two different people that collapsed, that fell. Shneim cholkim, both of them divide up equally, or I shouldn't say equally, they divide up based on the size of the first and second story relative to their size. Ba'etzim, with the wood, va'avonim, and they divide up the stones of va'ofer and the dirt that's used to, the mud, etc., that's used to, or mortar, perhaps. Now, this case that they're dividing it up is talking about a scenario where it was carted off, and therefore we cannot judge whose stones are the ones that broke, whose stones did not break. However, the Mishnah continues in another case, talking about where the stones are still laying there, where they fell. V'roim elu avonim aruyas lehishtaber. We can take a look and see whose stones were appropriate to have broken, meaning to say as follows: if the whole house in the second story collapse one on top of the other like a pancake, so in that scenario, it's usually going to be the stones on the bottom that broke because of the greater weight, and the stones on top are the ones less likely to break. However, if it fell outwards, and it fell outwards, so that the stones on top are the ones that are falling farther and more likely to break, and the stones on the bottom are less likely to break. And that's the type of assessment that you do if the fallen building is extant and you're able to judge based on the material found there. The Mishnah goes on to say, "Haya echad mehen, if one of the two parties is makir mitzas avanav, he recognizes some of the stones as being his. They're particularly nice stones, beautiful stones, and they're unbroken, and he wants to take those stones. Notlan, he can take them since he recognizes them. However, va'olos lo mina cheshbon, they are counted towards the calculation, and what that means is that his friend, the other party, actually will also take whole stones, the same number as the one who recognizes his stones. However, even though he's taking whole stones corresponding to his friends, he can't take his nice stones, he can just take stones. So that the friend who recognizes them still has the upper hand, and that he's allowed to take the stones that are more beautiful, that have maybe their sentimental value. But he wants those particular stones, he gets those stones. His friend gets also whole stones corresponding to that. The rest, however, they will divide equally. Now, the Gemara explains, why is it that we give the person who claims that he recognizes the stones without any proof? And the reason the Gemara says is because we're dealing with the scenario we've discussed before, where the other party who doesn't recognize the stones, he agrees that some of those stones do actually belong to his friend, just the rest of them he's not certain about. And whenever you're in that scenario, he's a moda b'miktsas. He is admitting part of the claim. And whenever he admits part of the claim, he needs to take a shavua. He has to take an oath. However, under these scenarios, we're talking about he doesn't know about the rest. So when you don't know, you can't swear. And therefore, when you have an obligation to make a shavua and you can't swear because you don't know, you have to pay. And paying here, in this instance, means giving the one who claims that he recognizes his stones, the stones that he claims.